You're listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church Hereford. If you would like to find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
Thank you very much, my friend. Good morning, church. All good with you? Brilliant. So before I start, I just want to point out two things as well. So first of all, I would like to honor three people back over there. So a few weeks ago, we had a cry out for help on media and PA. And as you can see, if maybe you can just turn your necks over there. So you can see we have Isaac, we have Gabriel, and we have Tim over there as new faces back there. So I just want to honor you guys as answering the call of helpers on media and PA. And we still need some more. We tried to make a rota for a lot of people, but I want to honor you guys over there. Thank you so much for hearing the, yeah, come on. As leadership, we just, this is a family where everyone brings something together. It's like a big meal where everyone brings something. And I just want to honor that and also honor everyone who's been helping for so many years, either on the cafe, welcome team, youth, kids work. There's so many areas and departments in this church that you can get on board. And plus that, I want to say that I'm really blessed to be stepping out of the leadership, Paul and myself, of my life group, because my life group is multiplying. And I'm really happy about that because I'm not having a break on the leadership of my life group, but I am doing what's the best thing to do, to see people growing and taking responsibility. So from the next 2 weeks ahead, I have the privilege of not being the leader of my life group anymore. And I'll have Tony and Chess. Tony, can you just stand up, please? So Tony and Chess will start a group in their house, which are part of my life group as well. And also I have Jolan and Emily. Do you mind just stand up? I know you don't like that too much, and they probably will kill me by doing this. But brilliant. And they also will start taking a group, especially. So if you are, the youth is here tonight. So their group will be aiming for, if you are college up. So we're going to start having a group if you are from college until around your 25-year-old, something like that, your 20, middle 20s. So that group will be target for that. And so we have plenty of space. If you're looking for a house group, if you're looking for a Bible group where we will know your name, where we will know how what is happening, we can share life together, and that will be a privilege. So please, if you want to talk more about life groups, you can talk to anyone on leadership, but especially to these guys, and support them and say, oh, you open a house group. Can I know more about that? Because I want to join one. Feel free, okay? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much because it's so good to see what you're doing in your church. Jesus, you are building your church and you are a good head of the church. The church is always going well because you know how to look after the church. You never fail. You never do anything wrong. So it's so good to know that the church has been built up by someone who is perfect, someone who doesn't make a single mistake. And we can trust in you. We can trust in your presence here with us this morning, Father. And we thank you for that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. So good. Guys, hello. Welcome, everyone. If you are the first time visiting this church, I just want to say how privileged it is for us to see you here. Sometimes we can see some new faces, and we've been having a lot of visitors, even online, so we just want to say how brilliant and how privileged it is for us to have you here with us. If you're for the first time over here, don't rush at the end of the time of the service. We would love to have a coffee with you and get to know your name, so please allow us to have this opportunity. And we are under a new season on the church right now, and it feels funny to talk about it because we're talking about Jesus. What are the odds in a church to be talking about Jesus? But it's interesting because C.S. Lewis has a quote that I really like, and he says that Jesus, God, he cannot be a figment of my own imagination, because Jesus himself, he's nothing at all something as I imagine he would be like. I'll just read again. Jesus cannot be a figment of my own imagination because he's nothing at all like I imagine him to be. You know, in a restaurant, when you go and you order some food, if Jesus was a dish, he would be naturally a dish that you and me would never trust. You know that probably in my situation, Jesus would be curry. He would be something that naturally I would never choose for him. Isaiah 53 says that, and we're talking about a prophet that was revealing Jesus. So Jesus has not come yet, but Jesus was someone still on the Old Testament that the prophet revealing and talk about himself, about Jesus, he would say that Jesus was someone that was no beauty or majesty on him. There was nothing that would attract us to him. Actually, the opposite. It says in Isaiah 53 that like someone, we turn our faces away from him. There was Jesus. There was a Savior. So we need to understand that when we are talking about Jesus, we are talking about someone that naturally, my own desire, my own nature does not feel attracted to this Jesus. It's beautiful because Jesus tells a story, the Gospel tells a story about Jesus entering a house, and then suddenly in this house, a woman comes in and starts washing his feet and drying his feet with the hair. And the guy who was receiving Jesus comes to Jesus and is like not accepting this. It's really outrageous because if Jesus only knew that that woman was a sinner, he would not accept that. But Jesus comes and says, look, I've entered your house. I'm not preaching about yours, friends of sinners. But Jesus enters the house and he says, I just entered your house. This woman has been loving me and been washing my feet and drying with her own hair. And so far, you didn't even kiss me once. Not a single kiss. You have not kissed me once at all. So we need to come to this point where we need to put in check. We need to start visualizing what is the love that we have for Jesus Christ. Because I'm going to tell you something. I'm on a stage of my life. That is, I have an urge to talk about Jesus. Because there's no other name that can save. Next Sunday, Paula and I, we are having lunch for the first time with a family that never came to church. And we met this family in one of the celebrations. I don't think it's Jubilee, but it was one of the crown, the Queen's celebration. And I don't even remember how many years, but it was a celebration of how many years she was on the throne, the last one before she passed away, before she went to heaven. There was a table next to us, and there was our table, and we were at Tubbs Liberty Relief on the community building. And suddenly I start talking because, you know, I'm Brazilian, I talk. And then I start talking, and probably 2 years later, it will be the first time that we're going to meet the whole family together. And suddenly I was over there, yeah, how are you? Yeah, I'm Brazilian and everything else. So I always use this as a trigger, because we need to find what triggers us, what ignites us with people. There is something that you live in that can allow you to talk about Jesus. And then I started talking, and then we've been meeting. I've been meeting this guy once every month for maybe for a year. Once a month, we have on a calendar, so I meet him, and we talk. We talk about both life traveling with families. They have kids and everything. And now we're going to go together for lunch next Sunday. And you know, I've been urging to talk about Jesus. Because Jesus is the only hope for the world. Paula, she was walking. We were walking in Bath a little while ago. And suddenly this woman stopped her. She said, you are talking in Portuguese. I can't believe you're talking in Portuguese. I said, yes, we're talking in Portuguese. I'm Brazilian. So I'm Brazilian. So I don't know anyone from Brazil here. I got married. I moved to the UK. I don't know any Brazilian. So good to hear someone talking Portuguese. And we got in touch. I mean, they shared numbers, but it never worked. They live in Hawaii. And then a couple of weeks ago, suddenly we were walking in Hereford. Who do we meet? Same, what are the odds? For you to be walking in Bath, see a couple, suddenly you're walking in Hereford, Saturday afternoon. Ah, thank you very much. That was so precisely. Yeah, we organized. We rehearsed this for a long time. Suddenly, who do we see? Dun, 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 dun. This couple. And then we exchanged numbers. I exchanged numbers with the husband. And I went for I met him this Friday for the first time. And yes, I never saw him before previous. And I never, ever spoke to him. And we spent 3 hours talking. And Sunday I was over there and we talked about family and they are dreaming about having kids. I said, wow, that's a good way for me to talk about Jesus. I said, do you know what is, I think, is a proof that God exists? Children. I said, why is that? Because Jesus, the love that God gave me for my children, I can't believe it dies, it finishes when I die. So the love that you're going to have for your children is the proof that God exists. Because it makes no sense that it will finish when you die. You will understand, when you have children, you're going to discover that God exists. Because it's impossible to believe that such a great love finishes. It just goes away after I die. I was like, oh, good to know. So I'm going to tell you something, my friend. We need to talk about Jesus because Jesus is the only name that matters, that we cry out to him so we can be saved. And Jesus is this person. I want to read together with you Luke chapter 15 because there is a need, there's an importance for me and you to go back talking again about Jesus Christ and to get to know him. He's not someone that I can just know him once. I need to go deeper on my knowledge of him. In Luke chapter 15, we're going to read verses 3 to 6. Jesus is telling a parable, a story. And Jesus says, Luke 15, verses 3 to 6. Then Jesus told them this parable, this story. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. The first thing I want to talk about Jesus, and I am sharing about someone that I love so much, and I've been learning to love him. But the most beautiful thing about Jesus is usually we trust our relationship with Jesus, we trust our salvation so many times to our ability of choosing, of making good choices. I see some people sometimes they say that their relationship with Jesus is going on because they chose Jesus. And I don't know about you, I am not that good with choices. The best choice I made was to marry Paula. She's not here to hear. Tell her later, okay? But usually, my friend, we are not that good to make choices. We're not. Have you ever chose something that you got home, like a pair of clothes, and it's like, where was my mind? Why did I choose this? Or you choose a dish. It's like, why I didn't go for the pasta? And so many times, holidays. I'm going to go holidays on summer in England. Pouring out of rain. So many times we are not that good to make choices. And so many times we are trying to trust our relationship with Jesus with our ability to choose him. So I don't trust my, and I don't need to choose. I don't need to, because Jesus, as a good shepherd, that when he says he calls himself a good shepherd in John chapter 10, he's someone that we need to understand that so many times we live in the countryside. We have people here with farms, and they have sheep. And I lived in when we first came over here, we lived in a farm. The first family who hosted Paul and myself, we were living in a farm, and there was, we would wake up with the sheep saying, hello, JP, bah. And usually sometimes when we read this, we believe that Jesus is walking around the fields looking for a lost sheep. But we pretend to believe that, there's a sheep that doesn't have an owner. A lost sheep over there. I'm going to get the sheep for me. Let me tell you something. Jesus is not searching for any of the sheep that was not his already. When Jesus was looking for me, He was not looking for something that was, that belonged to someone else. Jesus is looking for everything that belongs to him. It says over here that he had 100% of the sheep. Suddenly one got lost. He said, no, it's mine. It doesn't belong to anyone. And he goes over there, he finds the sheep and says, he doesn't say, sheep, do you want me? Do you want to come to me? No. He says that he goes over there, he leaves safety, in safety position, the 99. And he goes over there and says, oh, that's my sheep. Let's go back home. And he goes back home. And then he meets over there, he calls his friends and he rejoices because something that belonged to him was back home. And there's a movement that I'm talking this morning that I want to talk to you about. That is a movement of the mercy of Jesus Christ. We were singing about the grace, amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but I was now found. And this is a beautiful process that Jesus does. It's a beautiful movement. I want to talk about Jesus, how Jesus comes back. There's 4 points in the Gospels that I want to talk quickly to you. Because Jesus comes back. The lost sheep was over there. Instead of getting furious with the sheep and saying, I can't believe this stubborn sheep has left again. How dare you? Over there you have green pastures. I feed you. I treat you well. You're safe over there. No. He goes over there. He comes back and he finds the lost sheep over there. He does this movement. He comes back. And there's 4 points in the gospel I want to address to you quickly this morning. Because it's so good to see that Jesus comes back. Can you tell the person next to you, Jesus? Can you look to the person next to you? I know some people don't like that. But can you look to the eyes of the person next to you and say, Jesus, he always comes back. He does this movement of returning. And there's 4 points that I want to address that are on the Gospels. The first one, that Jesus likes to come back to a place where he finds fear. Have you ever felt afraid? Oh my goodness. We don't pretend to, but oh my goodness. And in John chapter 20, Jesus, the Gospel tells a story about Jesus. He was just resurrected. And where were all the disciples? Where were all the disciples? They were locked inside a house. And it says that they were so afraid of the Jews. They were afraid what could happen to them because their Savior has just died. And Jesus, what does he do? And it says that twice he enters a house and he finds them so afraid. And it's beautiful because the door was locked. So he could have knocked. But no, instead he chooses to go through the walls. And literally, when the disciples saw that, they said, a ghost! He just says, no, look. See my hand. Look my hand. But Jesus likes to come back to this place. He likes to search us when we are so lost in fear. Fear of decisions. Fear of the future. Fear of my own nature. That's a place that Jesus likes to run to find us there, because he has said that he will never lose any of his sheep. And maybe you are lost right now in your fears, in your own fears about your children, about the finances. I don't. But Jesus is this one, the only one, that instead of blaming you for feeling fear, he goes over there and he meets you. And even if you lack faith, like Thomas did, he didn't have problem with that. He corrected him. But he said, do you need, in your lack of faith, to see my hands? Blessed are those who doesn't need. But do you need? Here's my hand. He goes back to a place of fear. There's something that Jesus also loves to do. A story that is told throughout the Gospels. It is in John, it is in Luke. Jesus loves to go back where there is a broken relationship with him. Peter was someone. If you see John chapter 13, Jesus was saying that my time has come. It's time for me to go. My time has come. And Peter, proudly and really loudly, he says, where are you going? So it's not your point right now. He said, if I need, I'm gonna kill for you. I'm gonna die for you. I'm gonna give my life for you. Saying, really? Because you're gonna deny me three times before the, thank you very much. I'm gonna say chicken because I didn't remember the word. Before the gallo. You Google what is gallo. Before the cockroach sings, you're gonna deny me three times. And when we see the story followed on in Luke 22, he was afraid. Jesus was just arrested. He was over there. He was seeing Jesus being arrested from afar. And people started to notice him. Oh, are you not the one walking with Jesus? He says, no, it's not me. Second time, are you not the one walking with Jesus? No, it's not me. Suddenly the third time, are you not the person, the man walking with Jesus Christ? Woman, I told you, I have never met this man before. And it says when he says this, Luke chapter 22, read it later. It says when he said this, he said, I have no idea who this man is. It says that the Lord saw his eyes. He just replied this about his Savior. He said, Lord, I have no idea who is this man you're talking about, Jesus. When he said that, Jesus saw him and he saw Jesus and Jesus went. Can you imagine one of the disciples who was walking with Jesus for so long? Suddenly he says, I have no idea who this man is. I have no idea who Tim is. And at that moment, Tim looks at me and it was the last time that I saw him. That happened with Peter. Then Peter felt, and he says that he wept bitterly because his Savior, the man who spent 3 years with him every single day, who loved him, the last opportunity he had with this man, with this Jesus, was to deny him, and he saw him denying him, and then he went and he died. And then John chapter 21, when Jesus comes back, he comes back to life, he defeats death. He appears again to the disciples. And he says that after, what does he do? He goes back to a broken relationship. And it's beautiful because he comes to Peter. Can you imagine? A man who denied Jesus three times. And he suddenly comes and stands next to Peter and says, Peter, do you love me? Oh, Lord, you know I do. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Peter, the same amount of times you deny me, the same amount of times I'm healing our relationship, do you love me? And with some heaviness on his heart, he's healed from the pressure that he had on his relationship with Jesus from denying, and says, Lord, do you know something? I know that you know everything. I know that you know everything means that I know that when I was denying you over there, you didn't have a problem with that because you came to pay the price because of that. So he says, now I know that you know everything, and I know that you know that I love you. Jesus comes back, and how many times he came back to me, someone so miserable, someone so unworthy. Why? Because he wants, he makes a choice, because he's a good shepherd who comes back to us. He's someone who comes back to the moments when we are giving up. Tim was mentioning about the two disciples walking away from Jerusalem. Two disciples. And they were running away. Jesus, the command was them to stay in Jerusalem. But the Messiah has died. The Savior has died. And this man, these two men, suddenly start to walk on the way to Emmaus. And Jesus, full of mercy, what does he do? Starts walking next to them. And I love, because if you think that Jesus has a problem with sense of humor, you probably never read Luke chapter 24. Because for me, it's almost like a stand-up comedy. But full of love and full of grace. Because Jesus starts walking with their two disciples. And Jesus saying, why are you arguing? Because they were arguing about what happened. And then one of the disciples says, are you the only man in Jerusalem who does not know what happened? So he says, tell me what happened. So this man came from heaven to earth, our Savior, and he told us that he was going to die. And he told us that he was going to give his life for us, and he did. And now we're here lost. The Jews are hunting us. And he says, but everything he said didn't happen. So why don't you trust him? And then they get into this area where they're going to. And then Jesus keeps going on. And the two disciples say, oh, poor man. Let's invite him to, he might be hungry. He's been walking for too long. Let's invite him to share food with us. And the two disciples who were running away, escaping, giving up, quitting. They say, enter, eat with us. Let's do our Good Samaritan job over here. Jesus enters. He gets the bread, splits the bread up. The moment what happened? Their eyes were open. And they saw that that man walking all that time with them was Jesus himself. He came back to a place where people were quitting. He came back and met those men who were about to give up. And so many times we are judging people because they want to give up. My friend, let me tell you something. If you are walking with someone that is wishing to give up, let me tell you something, that if you don't walk with this person, Jesus will. I don't have problem with people that wants to give up, because you know what I know about Jesus Christ. He is the one who walks with them. He finds them. He finds us. So many times when I prayed to come to England, because God told me that he was going to bring my family to England. And I prayed for this year to come for 16 years. And for 16 years, I always knew that God told me that he was going to bring my family to Hereford. But for so many times, I wanted to quit because it was too difficult. And every time when I was about to quit, do you know who I met over there? On my wishes to give up. On my wishes to give up to make my marriage work. On my wishes to make my family work. Do you know who I met over there? Who came to meet me? Jesus himself. Because he makes this movement of coming back to us. He is the one who says, I don't let not even one of my sheep to be lost. And that won't happen with JP. That won't happen with you. And to finish, he comes back to a place where he feels that nothing made sense. That all the effort didn't. He comes back to a place where we feel frustrated. One of the most beautiful stories for me is the fact that Jesus, he spent so many times with the disciples. John chapter 14, he's over there talking, I need to go, because if I don't go, the Holy Spirit won't come, and you will never see the Father. And Philip comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, show us the Father. Someone was walking with Jesus all the time. And Philip says, but Philip, have you not realized still, have you not learned that when you look at me, you see the Father? They were walking every single day with Jesus. Jesus dies. He comes back to life, defeat death. There were humors about him being back to life again. And Jesus comes to a place where they were fishing. They come back to their same old life, where we may feel that what a waste of time it was. because we are over here doing exactly the same thing. And he gets there to the shore, it says in John 21. The disciples see someone coming. And look how beautiful it is. Jesus could have called them anything. But on the verse 5 of John 21, Jesus says, "Hey, friends." John 15, "I will no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know what his master is doing. But now I call you friend, because everything the Father gave me, I made known to you." And he comes to the shore and says, "Hey, friends, do you have any food there? Have you got any fish?" "No, we were fishing, we got nothing." "Ah, okay. What about if you threw the net on the other side?" I feel that happened before. They'd obey. This guy called him friend. Some were like, "I've seen this before. There's a guy who done this before." They threw the net on the other side, got loads of fishes. Suddenly, they realized that the man who came back to meet them was their friend, Jesus, their Savior. Jesus didn't come to them and said, "Can't believe I died on the cross. I paid the price for you. And now I'm over here, you cannot even recognize me. I can't believe that I'm going to have to do it all again." No, Jesus didn't do anything of that. Jesus comes and pretty much is saying, "I don't need to die again. I'll never need to go back to the cross. But however, always as needed to go back to you." And the disciples saw that that was Jesus Christ. And on the verse 9, it says, when they met, when they start to, they jump from the boat, they run to meet Jesus. And when they get to the shore, what have Jesus prepared to receive them back? What was there? There was fish, bread, a fire. Why, my friend? Because Jesus comes back to us. No matter what it is. Do you know why we need to talk about Jesus? Because people are lost in their fear. Do you know why we need to talk about Jesus? Here. It's here. It's not just out there, but it's here as well. How many families about to get destroyed because they think, "I've tried everything. I'm so afraid. Nah, it's too much for me. Didn't work. I need to give up. My goodness, my relationship with Jesus, I didn't treat him well. I'm so frustrated because..." But it's Jesus that knows your fear, that knows what you're struggling, that knows that you want to give up, that knows that you are on a broken relationship with him. It's Jesus that somehow all the investment you did, all the prayers you did for healing never worked. All the investment you put, this Jesus himself, he's telling you this morning, "I am coming back to you. I am coming back to your family. I'm coming back to restore things." And at least I believe there is a promise that has been fulfilled in your family. I just want to tell you that there is a promise over your family, your brothers. And I believe God wants to tell you that he is going there. Right now, and you're going to start giving testimonies about this, of suddenly sentences that they are mentioning to you, saying, I felt Jesus. Something happened. Because Jesus, he does this. He comes back to us. I will now pray with you this morning for us to finish. And maybe we sing this again, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved someone like me. Let me tell you something, my friend. I don't know what is the despair that you may be living or that you will live. Well, I know something. I believe that you enter this place with many dreams. You had many dreams before, but none of them worked. And you're so lost on your fear, so lost on your but Jesus is the name. Or even, you know that your name is like honey on my lips. No, let's go with Amazing Grace. And I just want to invite you, my friend, this morning, cry out for the name of Jesus. It doesn't matter if you're not recognizing him anymore. He is full of mercy. It doesn't matter if all you see is fear of the future. How I'm going to pay the bills? How I'm going to raise the children? How I'm going to get married again? Didn't work before. Ah, Jesus. I've been walking with you for so many years. I've let you down so many times. How can there be hope for me? If you told me to stop doing things for so many times and I didn't, and I kept doing, and kept denying you, and it feels like I've let you down so many times, it's time for you to hear someone touching your shoulders and saying, hey, friend, I'm here. Hey, friend, I'm here. Look, come sit with me because I put over here some bread, some fish. There's a fire for us to sit together over here. Come and join me because I am the one who comes back to you no matter what, because you are my sheep. What an amazing grace that saved someone like us. My sins are completely gone. I've been set free. My Lord, my Savior has rescued me. Us. Shall we sing this together?
Sins
are gone.
My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed.
Again, my chains are gone.
My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood.